You're listening to the WP Tonic, WordPress and Tech, focused on building a successful business in WordPress aimed at the WordPress professional and power user. Join Jonathan Denwood and Kurt Von Annen as your host and co-host as we bring you great discussions from around the globe.
Welcome back, folks, to the WP Tonic Show. This is episode 966. We've got a special guest. We've got Brian McAheiner with us.
That was terrible.
Oh, sorry. I got it wrong. I apologize, Brian. And we're going to be discussing all things AI, web development, app development. It should be a great show. So, Brian, would you like to give the tribe a quick intro, a 10, 15 second intro? And then when we go into the main part of the show, we'll delve a bit more into your background, Brian.
Cool. Yeah. My name is Brian Messenlehner. I'm the owner of AppPressor. We're basically a SaaS platform that allows people to build iOS and Android apps without having to know how to build iOS and Android apps. As long as you know how to WordPress it up, you could flex your WordPress skills as a WordPress user, not even touching any code, and build a really cool and interactive content-based mobile apps.
That's fantastic. And I've got my co-host, Kurt. Kurt, would you like to introduce yourself?
Yeah, my name is Kurt Von Annen. I own an agency called Manana Nomas and work directly with the great folks at WP Tonic.
That's fantastic. And like I say, it should be a great show. But before we go into the meat and potatoes, I've got a message from one of our major sponsors. We will be back in a few moments.
Hey, running a business is tough. You shouldn't have to worry about your website too. With Kinsta's managed hosting for WordPress, you get lightning fast load times, enterprise-grade security, and 24/7 expert support from real humans. Switch to Kinsta and see site speeds improve by up to 200% with effortless migrations and powerful, easy-to-use dashboard. Join over 120,000 other businesses who also trust Kinsta. Get your first month for free at Kinsta.com. That's KINSTA.com. Kinsta, simply better hosting.
We're coming back, folks. Before we go into the main part of the interview, I also like to point out we've got some great special offers from the sponsors, plus a created list aimed at the WordPress professional, best plugins and services that will help you be a more effective freelancer or small agency owner. You can get all these goodies by going over to wp-tonic.com/deals, wp-tonic.com/deals. What more, my beloved tribe, could you ask for? Probably a lot more, but that's all you're going to get on that page. So, like I said, Brian, let's delve into a bit of your background. So how did you get into web development? I know you were in the Marines, and thank you for your service, Brian. But how did you get into web development and then into WordPress and then into this really interesting subsection of it?
Sure. So yeah, back in 1999, I joined the Marine Corps. I actually signed up to be a machine gunner, and I did really good on the ASVAB tests. And I guess that told them that I might be good at computer stuff. And I kind of was interested in that field. I thought maybe I could, you know, learn some cool stuff and get out and try to make some money. And so I went all in, and I got sent to 29 Palms in California. And that's where I first learned how to code. And I was completely in love with it. I thought it was the coolest thing, how you could, you know, type in some characters and make it do something on a screen. I'd always liked video games and stuff like that. But I was super into it, super intrigued. And I really went all in during my training. I was then stationed at Camp Lejeune, North Carolina, at my duty station. I worked for a service support group, like a large logistics command. And I built a lot of different systems, like an armory management system for the base there that managed all the weapons on the base and who they were assigned to, crew served weapons, you know, stuff like that. I would say my best skill was definitely databases and relational databases. That was like my thing. They had sent me back to the communications schools in 29 Palms multiple times to learn, more advanced database stuff. But yeah, I was really into it. I was in charge of this small unit logistics system and a huge migration of the Marine Corps' equipment. Everything from tanks to toothbrushes was all stored in this giant mainframe system. And me and this salty old gunnery sergeant that was in charge of was like a COBOL wizard. We worked together on a migration script to migrate everything off the mainframe systems that they had and into a giant Oracle database with a .NET, ASP.NET front end. Actually, the first version of that was Cold Fusion, if you remember that one. Yeah. When it was Alere, Cold Fusion, remember CF Loop? CF Query. So those were fun projects that I worked on. When Operation Iraqi Freedom happened after 9/11, we got deployed over there and I was in charge of this server that was basically like a giant e-commerce system where troops could order stuff on, from the field, whether it be weapons, food, equipment, whatever. And it was coming into the main spot and all the different department heads could log in and get all their stuff together. But it was essentially a giant e-commerce system, back then around 2002 probably. So I fell in love with programming. I decided to get out of the Marine Corps. I got a job in New Jersey at a law firm. We specialized in insurance fraud litigation. And our biggest client was Allstate. We had some other big clients too, like Encompass and Progressive. But I think Allstate was definitely our biggest client. And they would let me loose in their databases and I would write all this code and algorithms to go and basically find, database records that would basically be insurance fraud. Well, and so that was very interesting work, very cool work. I was working on some cases with the FBI going after some bad players that were like stealing hundreds of millions of dollars from Allstate within 2 or 3 years. And Allstate was only like 20% of the market. I had to sign my name to all these affidavits that I was like the technical expert that identified all the fraud and which then enabled them to go after the bank accounts of these people and stuff like that, which I built other databases and systems that would take all that information and pull it in so that we could investigate the money, because that was really what it was all about. It was a game of follow the money. These two people, for instance, could say, hey, we have nothing to do with each other. We don't know each other at all. We're not connected. Well, why is there a check from you to this guy's son as for a $100,000 wedding gift? Obviously that's a payoff. But anyway, these systems that I built would help the attorneys be able to identify payments and stuff like that that they probably wouldn't have been able to do without code going through and analyzing all the stuff and, milliseconds and figuring out all these connections that they might not have figured out. So while I was doing that, I had started a small web development agency when I was in the Marine Corps called Web Dev Studios. So I was the founding member of Web Dev Studios when we first started it unofficially in 2001. And then I registered it in the state of New Jersey, I think in, 2006 or something, 2007. And I had always, wanted to do my own thing. So I was kind of on the fence doing both working at the law firm and working for and building up Web Dev Studios. I had a partner that came and moved in with me, and that's how serious we were about it. And we started taking on small projects here and there. We were getting into open source technologies. WordPress was one of the big ones, obviously, but we were also at the time doing a lot of Drupal stuff, like doing Magento, things like that. WordPress to me was just like very easy. PHP is a very easy scripting language, JavaScript, and it's just a MySQL database. I loved that it was open source. I loved that there was plugins, themes, code that extended the functionalities. I always had my own resource libraries of code that I have written or gotten from other places and stuff like that. But, the the concept of open source when I was so used to, closed source systems and especially like Microsoft-based technologies. It's completely different from that. So I fell instantly in love with WordPress. It's a great platform. I remember the moment we got our first like big WordPress client. We were going to a WordCamp in San Francisco and we were flying out. I had one of my guys at one of our first hires with me on the plane. And we're on our plane, just working on our laptops, burning up some code. And this woman sitting adjacent from me in the aisle keeps on looking at my screen. So at first, I'm kind of like, turn my laptop, like, you know, mind your business. But then she taps me on the shoulder and she's like, hey, excuse me. I don't mean to bother you, but I noticed that you're working on WordPress. Are you going to the WordPress conference? And I was like, yeah, we're heading out there. And she was like, that's cool. My company's sending me out there to find developers to work on our websites. And I was like, oh, nice. I was like, who do you work for? And she's like, Time Magazine. And I was like, oh, you found us. You won't even have to go to the conference. You could just go home and hang out with your family. Like, I got you covered. And long story short, we talked a few times at the conference in San Francisco. And then when we got back to the East Coast about a week later, I got an email from her saying to, asking that we come and meet with her and her bosses at the time, built in Manhattan. And we went there. I sold the project and we built Time Magazine's Health Land website. We did their blog for them, a couple other like hyperlocal blogs like their Detroit blog and some other ones. And then from there, it was just like, hey, you know, we just use that for marketing. Like, hey, have you ever heard of Time Magazine? Time Magazine. Yeah, we're doing stuff for Time Magazine. And we started getting all these other big WordPress jobs in the door. Started speaking at a lot of WordPress events. Started the WordPress New Jersey meetup group and was pretty involved there for a while and having regular meetings around like Asbury Park area, if you know the area at all. Got more involved and started getting bigger clients and getting more work to the point where I needed to exit working for the law firm completely just so I could take on web dev studios full time. And we did a lot of cool stuff there. I was the co-founder and CTO there for many years until I exited the company and took over AppPressor as a part of my exit. And I went from building all sorts of web applications to building mobile apps powered by WordPress. And it seemed like a great fit for me, specifically because I have 5 children. And being the CTO of an agency, as you know, you're never done putting out fires. And you never know what fires are going to pop up in the middle of the day. And I had to walk a tightrope between keeping my staff happy and keeping my clients happy. And so that was always fun. I had to be available between, 9 to 5. It started to feel like a job. And again, I have 5 kids, so I really enjoy spending my time with them. And the thought of being able to push the needle on sales for our SaaS platform, for AppPressor's SaaS platform, was a lot more appealing to me than being involved in the day-to-day stuff with a larger agency or a small agency in the world of software development, but I guess a decent-sized agency in the WordPress world. I wanted to get away from it. I wanted to spend more time with my family, and that allowed me to do that. So,
yeah. Totally understandable. That's a really interesting intro, Brian, to say that you know all the skeletons of WordPress, don't you, Brian?
I know quite a few.
I'm going to throw for the next question over to Kurt.
I just feel like that was such an interesting introduction. I just got to ask, because people are going to hear the name Web Dev Studios, and now we look at 10Up Web Dev Studios. We look at these as being, top tier agencies. But when you guys started that, Would you describe the experience if you had to split it? Like, would you think of it as like you kind of fell into it, or you built it as you went, or you kind of discovered it as you went along? Or did you really go into it with an actual plan? You know, like did you have a vision of a big agency and you had an architecture and a process that you were after, or did you kind of stumble through it and build it as you go?
Great question. So I actually registered the domain name in 2001, and it was when I was stationed at Camp Lejeune, and I was building stuff for the Marine Corps for them, like I mentioned earlier. But then I was also doing stuff for companies and businesses out in the town in Jacksonville, North Carolina, like a car dealership. We built a system for them so they could manage their inventory. We built a website for this popular radio station out of Myrtle Beach. So I was always doing part-time work under the guise of Web Dev Studios, the domain name. We had a very basic website set up at the time back in 2001. But yeah, I always had dreamed about doing that full time, building it into something larger than just, one man, two man, three man show. And we, I think when my first partner moved out to New Jersey and we started, officially started the company with, registered with the state in Jersey and, went all in, that we were doing different websites on the side, doing different, like I said, Drupal stuff. We were doing still doing a lot of Microsoft stuff for different clients and stuff like that. But we really started getting into WordPress, and we became we want to be dedicated to WordPress. We want to be the experts at WordPress. To me, like I mentioned before, WordPress was always easy because at the end of the day, it's just code in a database. And if you're a developer, you know that you can make code and database do anything that you want. So we weren't really limited to what was in the WordPress box. We were really always pushing the envelope as far as what we could do and what the capabilities of WordPress was. And one of my biggest strengths, like I mentioned, is databases, and with that is large scale migrations. So like platform migrations from other systems into WordPress. Those are probably the biggest price tags on most big projects is the data migration, depending on how much data that they have, where it's located, where it needs to go into the new schema. I kind of always knew I was a young guy in the Marines. I grew up really poor and I was like, I'm learning how to code. This is awesome. This is the future. This is how I'm going to make it big. This is how I'm going to make a lot of money and be a good provider for my family. So I've just always been at it. I had a kid really young when I was 20 years old, and that really changed my life and gave me the motivation and discipline, along with being in the Marine Corps, of course, but to really see it through.
Yeah, well, it's different than machine gunning.
Yeah, my life would probably be a lot different if I said, no, I'm just going to be a machine gunner.
So that transitions us to the second question, and that's, because you've talked about developing and databases and all that stuff, but we always end up talking about AI at some level on these episodes. And so how do you see, like personally, your perspective, how do you personally see AI affecting how WordPress developers are working and coding? We already see it, now, but how do you see it over the next year and a half progressing?
Well, I'll tell you what, I can't wait to get my Optimus robot. Because I'm going to hook it up on my laptop. Supposedly their hands are more agile than human hands now, and they can play guitars and piano and type faster than humans. And that's only going to get better. So I'm really, looking forward to that. As far as using it on a day to day, like right now and over the, the foreseeable future, I have, people on my team, we like to utilize it. I have some developers that are, trying to push back. And you have these old school guys that don't want to adapt to AI and, I could do that. I don't need it. The AI's assistant to do that. So I'll give you a scenario. I was working with this guy. He doesn't actually work for me anymore. And this might be part of the reason, but he, I was asking him, we were going back and forth on, you know, how long it would take to build something, some specific functionality. And he's giving me all these, you know, all these answers about how it's going to take weeks and it's going to, you know, we're going to need to do this and we're going to need to do that. And while he's, seems to me like he's coming up with some excuses, he's explaining this stuff to me and I'm just tapping in some prompts into ChatGPT about what I, you know, the exact stuff that I'm telling him and that we're talking about, what we need to do. And ChatGPT, you know, generates the code and I'm looking through it and I send it over to him and I'm looking through this code and we're looking through it together and he's like, yeah, this'll work. So the guy was trying to tell me that it was going to take him 2-3 weeks to build something. And while we were on the phone, the rough draft of the code, I mean, you still have to go, you know, you could generate code with AI, but you still need to review it and go through it and make sure it's legit. I mean, you probably know you asked AI something and it says some crazy shit sometimes. So you got to make sure that, you know, that stuff's locked down. But basically the AI in that instance replaced the human developer, for that specific functionality.
Yeah. In your own experience, how much, I hate to say value, but someone's got to oversee the output. Like I was reading an article that was being pretty critical of AI and it was saying out of 570,000, you know, sample pieces of code that they had AI create, 23% of it was erroneous. And out of that 23%, much of it was sourced from like malware, right? And so, so I always say like, I'm a hypocrite because I use AI almost every day in my life, but I know what the output's supposed to be, or I know what I'm looking for. So it speeds my process and I kind of oversee it and then publish it. But if you don't have an understanding from the core of what it's supposed to do or what the output should be, you run the risk of putting out some heinous material.
Oh yeah, absolutely. And there's no way that I would ever like just say, hey, build me a plugin that does this. And then,
shapow.
Oh, here it is. And you know, speaking of that, I like to really break it down. You know, I think about it as like, how would I build it myself? You know, here's the pieces that I need to build. You know, here's the hooks that we need to access. Here's the functions we need to write. And then just kind of go through them one at a time and use AI as an enhancer, not an absolute replacement. You need to QA that code. Take a look at it, you know, have human eyeballs on it or have, you know, the AI kind of go back or another AI look at it, check it out, you know, see what problems there could be with it. But yeah, you're right. Absolutely. That, you really need to know, you know, what the output is going to be, what the expected output is going to be and how to work with it and, you know, how to go back and forth. Cause I'm sure you know too, like, there's probably been things that you've built with AI that probably took way longer than they were supposed to because you're going back and forth, like arguing with it and stuff. So I always like to do it in like little, you know, steps. And then once I got that one function done that I would have wrote myself or, you know, one of my guys would have wrote, then cross that one off the list, you know, once it's validated and embedded that it's, you know, working.
Yeah. Work your way through. Jonathan, over to you.
Yeah. So, like there's a few people that have said, Brian, that now, do you think a lot of the work that a developer is doing now in 18 months time is going to be replaced? You've seen, I agree with your position because what I think you're saying is that you do need the knowledge for the first foreseeable future, and I think if we push it any further than 18 months, it's so speculative that it doesn't really, none of us know what these AI labs are developing. But for the next 18 months, do you, at the end, let's say at the end of 2026, do you think a lot of the kind of freelance work that's out there is going to dry up considerably, or what's your own gut feeling about this, Brian?
I don't think the freelance work is going to it's going to dry up. People are always going to need things. But yeah, there could be less people using WordPress and more people using these other services like, you know, Wix or Squarespace or whatever new, you know, AI generated, you know, code builders are coming out, you know, every day. So, you know, AI is going to probably push some market share away from WordPress. I would imagine, you know, and it probably already has been. But I mean, WordPress is still, I think, the best tool out there. You know, and is also being enhanced with AI, right? So, but as far as freelancers not having work, as long as they're integrating with AI and adapting to AI, I think it's going to make everybody's jobs a little bit easier. Maybe the, you know, the very junior developer that's getting in there and writing, you know, just giving basic tasks, I need a function that does this, this, and that. Those types of tasks are going to be replaced by AI, but you still need to have somebody, people with the knowledge of the overall architecture of, you know, what actually is being built, how it needs to be built, how it needs to be integrated with other systems. But as far as cranking out the code, that's, you know, which used to be the hard part, that's going to become easier and easier over time.
Yeah, I think that I agree with every word of that, Brian, but you've got a lot more industry experience than I do. I think we're going to go for our middle break, folks. Got a couple of other messages from our sponsors that are much appreciated. Help with the costs of running the show. And we'll be back in a few moments with this fascinating discussion with Brian. We'll be back in a few moments.
Tired of hosting providers that can't handle high traffic loads? Convessio is here to help. Our platform can handle any amount of traffic, all without slowdown or crashing. With immediate Slack support, performance optimization, and a team that thrives on resolving technical challenges, your e-commerce business is in safe hands. Learn more about Convessio at convessio.com.
This podcast episode is brought to you by Lifter LMS, the leading learning management system solution for WordPress. If you or your client are creating any kind of online course, training-based membership website, or any type of e-learning project, Lifter LMS is the most secure, stable, well-supported solution on the market. Go to lifterlms.com and save 20% at checkout with coupon code podcast20. That's podcast20. Enjoy the rest of your show.
We're coming back. We've had, I think, a really interesting discussion with Brian. He's got an enormous amount of experience in WordPress and coding. I think he showed it. But before we go into the second half of the show, just want to point out that we've got another great resource. You can watch these interviews live on video, plus a load of other content. And you can get all this by going over to the WP Tonic YouTube channel and support the show by subscribing. It's a great resource. We've got a ton, like I say, I think got over 1,700 videos on all sorts of subjects around WordPress and marketing. You should find it a great resource. Over to you, Kurt.
Thanks, John. When I think of AppPressor, the offer, and the idea of mobile apps, we run into, Jonathan and I, customers that are either absolutely resolute that they must have a mobile app, or we run into people that are like, no, I have no interest in having a mobile app. And so I find it incredibly interesting kind of like how that works. And I've looked at your offer and it's super, super attractive, right? Obviously, you've said that you're all in on WordPress and your product is associated with WordPress. But our next question leads to, especially considering kind of the politics that have happened at the higher end of WordPress over the last year, how do you feel like the market share
is working towards WordPress. Do you think we're actually going to see like light at the end of the tunnel and continued growth in market share in WordPress? Or do you think, hey, we're over 40% of the internet, you know, like that, where we're there, and now Wix and Squarespace and Webflow and everyone else is going to start growing and doing their thing?
Yeah, I mean, it's interesting. And, you know, everybody knows about like all the beef that's been going on and stuff. And but yeah, it probably had, you know, all that stuff and it's going back and forth about all these things. And, you know, personally, my opinion around like Gutenberg, that, you know, slowed down a lot of things that could have made WordPress better. I mean, my biggest gripe with WordPress has always been that it's not a true relational database. And for, you know, it's great for like, you know, a cat blog or something with cache content. But when you have an enterprise web application and you have, you know, you need real-time data all the time, all these inner joins that are happening for with every piece of post meta or user meta really slows down the database and creates a debacle. And, you know, why WordPress needs overcompensation with caching and stuff like that to begin with. So I like Gutenberg. I think it's great. I have customers. I'm like, Gutenberg, they don't know what the hell I'm talking about. A lot of customers, they don't care what WordPress is. They just want something that's easy for them to use and that they could update their content. And even some of those people, they're still emailing us saying, hey, can you update this content? Well, we're a development company, but if you want to pay us developer rates to update some content, sure, I guess we could do that for you. But yeah, I mean, as long as there's these easier systems that are coming out that are very easy to do, build a basic services website, you know, brochure type website, you know, WordPress really can't compete with that stuff, you know, the small stuff anymore, I think. Where WordPress is good is, you know, these kind of middle tier applications where, you know, you could use all the, you know, plugins to do different things. Like you could, you know, use WooCommerce to set up a e-commerce shop. You want to use BuddyPress to build a community. You want to tie AppPressor on top of that stuff. And then now you have your e-commerce shop in the app stores or your social community in the app stores. So the flexibility of WordPress, the extensibility of it, the fact that it's open source and so many people are contributing to it, and you can make it do whatever you want. That's really like the sex appeal to me, and I think a lot of other people, that you could really build whatever you want. You're not limited. Like we said before, it's code in a database, integrated with all these other systems to do just about anything. If you have a small, like, you know, power washing company and you have a 5-page website, is WordPress the best solution for you? Maybe not. Maybe you're messing around with Gutenberg and you're like, what the heck is going on here? When you could easily just use Wix and build a page and, you know, be done with it. I hope to see everybody kind of squash their beef in the WordPress world and get back to building cool stuff and working together and making WordPress better than it is now. If that doesn't happen, you know, there's people talking about forking WordPress and stuff like that. You know, it's gonna hurt everybody, I think, that kind of stuff. I think if everybody gets back to working together, you know, making WordPress better, not just building things like page builders to compete. You know, Gutenberg is basically a core WordPress feature, right? So so WordPress has a core page builder now. So was that the purpose of it, to kind of knock the other page builders out of the box? And all those other page builders are doing great, by the way. My personal favorite, I already said I like Gutenberg a lot. I do. I think it's very powerful and extensible, but it's not as easy to use as like Beaver Builder for I have another company, School Presser, that would do a lot of school websites. Our biggest school, public school client is Newark, New Jersey. They have about 80 schools in a district. It's a large multi-site network. you know, WordPress is a perfect solution for them. We use Beaver Builder for those sites because the school staff that are updating those pages and stuff, we don't even want to send them to the back end of WordPress. They don't care what WordPress is.
Yeah.
They just want to be able to log in to the site that looks like and be able to, you know, see the what's being shown on the screen and drag and drop things, click on it, change the content. That's what's important to them. So I would say out of all the page builders out there, Beaver Builder is probably one of my favorites because it's so easy to use from a person that's not very technical.
Yeah, it's all of what you said is super interesting. And I, you know, when all the stuff was happening, I thought, oh, you know, I haven't tried Drupal in a while. And I installed Drupal on a test site and I couldn't wait to get out of that site. I was like, this is a nightmare. I'm getting back to WordPress as quick as I can. But then you mentioned like the power washer. And I think to myself, well, I could throw something together in Dreamweaver and HTML and have that up in an afternoon, you know, but is that really the best thing? Right. And so I kind of weigh things back and forth too. I think I'm a WordPress convert for sure. But when I think about new people coming into our space, what really attracts them, you know, and from an agency side, I think if we were to create more of a community atmosphere where new people could come in and build a business and make revenue out of it, I think they would see more opportunity.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Jonathan?
It's a really tricky one, Brian, because I was listening and I watch, or I have it as I'm working, it's in the background, a lot of YouTube / podcasts, and a lot of people, there's adverts on like This Week in Startups. There was an advert where they were talking about a platform and they're pitching it as a kind of middle ground to total bespoke building of a total web application and all the costs and not getting something that really works. And they were pitching it as utilizing AI so you could get this bespoke without the total costs and possible risk of a total bespoke. And in some ways that it sounded to me they were talking about WordPress, but they were talking about, because to me the problem with this, I forgot the name of the company, but it was like advertising, and is that, yeah, you know, it reduces the cost, and they were pitching it as this middle solution, but you've still got all the risk that you're using a proprietary platform, and if that company goes bust or something, you're stuck. Where with WordPress, you're not so dependent on anybody. They're, you know, I'm not going to underestimate move. If you're building something really complicated, moving to another agency or another freelancer, it's not going to be totally easy, but you're not totally stuck either. What's your own views about what I'm saying here, Brian?
I think my biggest selling point to people that are on the fence about WordPress, and by the way, those are the customers that I'd rather have customers that come to me and know exactly what they want with WordPress than me trying to sell somebody like, hey, you really need to use WordPress. But yeah, you're absolutely right. You know, WordPress is great for putting together prototypes and stuff like that. You could easily put together something very cool with, you know, very cost effective. WordPress is always my go-to for that. What was the tail end of?
Yeah, I think it's like what I'm notorious for this, Brian. So I think, but there seems to be these AI platforms where they're saying we'll be able to produce a bespoke solution for you. But then that just sounds like WordPress on steroids, but it's the same argument that you would utilize yourself about utilizing WordPress, isn't it?
Yes, specifically for like, you know, security. People are saying how secure is WordPress? Well, there's, you know, thousands of developers working on it. There's millions of websites using it. So it needs to be secure. You know, as long as you're updating your plugins and core WordPress and not making your password, and, you know, maybe using some security enhancement plugins and stuff like that, it's going to be, you know, super secure. And, you know, the biggest argument is, you know, with these, you know, smaller companies that have this proprietary web solutions or CMSs or, you know, using AI to build websites is, you know, how big is that team? What are they sacrificing for features? Are they sacrificing security to roll out new features? Because that happens a lot. What happens if this company goes belly up? You know, you're done. You're not getting any more support. You know, what is the technology stack that behind the scenes that the AI is building? Is there, you know, if you need to hire third-party developers, how expensive is that? You know, I always tell customers like, hey, if it doesn't work out between us, there's thousands of WordPress developers out there. You could find anybody to work on this stuff. You know, with the proprietary solution, that people that get locked into companies that build proprietary stuff is a bad idea, because if they need to go somewhere else, they're what are they going to do?
Yeah, and just before I give it back to Kurt, is I don't know how this is all going to pan out, Brian, because I don't think any of us know. But I was listening to other developer type freelancer video podcasting shows, and they were pushing, we could build this brochure website using AI and find a host, some host for it, and sell it to somebody with this AI integration. And it could be just as much a threat to Squarespace and Wix as to WordPress, could it not? Do you need a WordPress, but do you need a Squarespace? Do you need a Wix? Do you need any? You could just produce it in AI and find a host for it, and you don't need any of this. So
it's true.
It could be just as big a threat to these other established platforms as to WordPress. What do you reckon?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, somebody could go in there with AI and, you know, put in some prompts and build a really cool website. And like you said, just find a host, pay for hosting, put it up, boom, it's done. They don't need to really update the content. It's just some, like, you know, information about their business, their services, some pictures and stuff like that. That's an easy solution, a very, you know, inexpensive solution. So it's hard to compete with that, you know, for those really smaller sites. I think the bigger web applications, would be harder to kind of duplicate that. But then there's also hosting companies that are working with AI that are building exactly that, and it's integrated with their hosting platform already. So, you know,
they are, aren't they? People like Bluehost, GoDaddy, they're all looking at this, aren't they?
Mm-hmm.
Well, even WordPress.com, aren't they? They've got their AI solution now, haven't they?
Yep. And the page builders as well. So they're all kind of competing to be able to offer that really easy to put together solution at, I guess, the cheapest price.
Yeah, so yeah. Over to you, Kurt.
Well, I'm going to bump us back to the AI questions again, Brian. And really, you already gave up the ghost that you said, you know, use ChatGPT, but you also mentioned that you'll run it through another filter AI or something. What are your, I mean, if you feel comfortable sharing, what are your go-to two or three tools that you really leverage day to day?
Well, ChatGPT I mentioned already. But I really, and I've tried, you know, the new ones that seem to come out from, you know, every other day, there's, you know, new ones coming out, and I like to, you know, give them a try and stuff. But my favorite of all is Grok. And cool. Yeah. I mean, and a lot of, you know, this may be controversial. I mean, a lot of people don't like Elon Musk, but I don't think anybody really does it better than how he's doing it. I mean, Grok is amazing. Tesla, it's not really a car company. It's robotics and AI company. And there's nobody doing it like that. Like I have a Cybertruck with the full self-driving supervised or whatever. And it's amazing. I don't even drive myself around anymore. The robot drives me around. I feel the same way about a lot of his other stuff. Grok, for instance, it's great. It's really cool. The voice stuff, how you could talk to it about problems and it'll generate all the code. Their new, the Grok, I forget what it's called off the top of my head, but their builder thing where it connects to Google Drive. So you can get like your Google Docs and access that stuff. I mean, that's great for helping to build proposals and stuff like that. And generating code, looking at code. I like to have them kind of get the output of one and put it into the other and see, have them kind of analyze the output. I really like Grok. I was joking around about the Optimus robot, but not really. Like, I really can't wait to get one of those. I'm going to have it doing all sorts of cool stuff and just, working on a laptop 24/7. That stuff's amazing, right? I mean, eventually I think the Optimus robots are going to be able to drive cars too. So, everybody's going to have a self-driving car if they have one of these robots. I like Grok. And then working with their APIs, because there's using the prompt, working back and forth with it, but then there's, integrating with the AI through their APIs to do all sorts of cool stuff. Like right now we're building an agent for our help tickets. So when a new support ticket comes in, basically the AI agent goes through prior support tickets and looks for similar answers, goes through our documentation, and we're even getting into having it look through the code for stuff. And formulate a response. And like I was saying before, like you need human eyes on it. You can't just send out a response automatically because sometimes the AI will say some crazy stuff. So, but the amount of time that automated process will save support staff, not just for me, but that there's other companies doing that stuff too. The amount of time that it saves them from having a person go and, build an email from scratch, or even if they have canned responses set up, just to have the email already laid out, all the answers, links to everything that they need, and you just have to review it and hit the send button. I mean, that's going to save 90% of their time.
I've been using I'm going to call it a pre-write tool for someone that I do support for subcontracted. And I would say it's probably knocked out 70% of the time I spend doing support for them. So on one hand, I lost 70% of my revenue, right? Like, because AI is doing the job, but I'm able to respond to a higher volume of people. And to your point, I got to change the links. It links to weird stuff, but it'll say, check this link. And then I look at the link. Well, that link's wrong. I just correct the link. The rest of the content looks great. I put my name on it and send it.
And over time, that stuff is only going to get better.
Yeah.
There's going to be less issues and the links will be correct and integrate with, more systems. And it's crazy how fast, this is all advancing and unfolding.
Yeah. And then I think the message to people there is, like I just said, well, that took 80% of my revenue or 70% of my revenue because it does that. But what it really does is it frees up my time on things I'm more efficient and profitable with. Let's face facts. I mean, we're not making a lot of revenue doing support tickets, right? So if I can spend my available time doing site development or consulting work, I'm going to make a higher margin. So I think people that are worried about AI taking their jobs and stuff, they just need to expand their perspective, right? And go, well, what would I do with that time if I had it?
Yeah.
I might go mountain biking.
Yeah, when it comes to actually coding, I think we're already seeing, Brian, that some of the large learning models like Perplexity, Copilot for Microsoft, they're really positioning themselves in code, aren't they? To where ChatGPT, chat and what, you know, that you said you like. They're more, they do code, but they're not positioning themselves. Do you see that as a continuing trend that we're going to have more and more narrow tools aimed at coding?
Yeah, absolutely. They're all competing with each other to write better code. Brock just had some updates for around, you know, better coding and stuff too.
Right. And how much of the code do you think in 18 months' time it's going to be producing rather than a coder actually doing it?
Yeah, I mean, I guess it all depends on who's using it, what companies are utilizing this stuff and setting it up and automating it, automating the prompts through, you know, API integration, stuff like that. The workflow, right? Automating every step of the workflow from when the lead comes in the door to you're launching the website. You know, there's all sorts of stuff that happens in between there. You know, automating all that stuff in between, the code, you know, being a huge part of that. Absolutely. But it's not the main part of it. The code is just going to get better and better and better and better with all these tools. I like Copilot, but I have this thing about Microsoft. I refuse to be on, you know, with Skype and stuff. Actually, Microsoft is one of our biggest clients as far as name goes. And probably my second biggest data migration was for Microsoft. My first one being the big logistics one for the Marine Corps. But we did a large scale migration for their MSDN and TechNet networks that were on a proprietary .NET solution, you know, built by Microsoft with a SQL Server backend. And we migrated all that stuff to this huge WordPress multi-site network with millions of posts, hundreds of thousands of sites on the multi-site network. So that was really large scale. But we also got we did the Bing's blog, we did News Center blog, we did a lot of their stuff in Skype's blog. So that was cool working with them, but just from working with Microsoft technologies in the past, and people would be like, hey, you know, when Skype was still big, I guess, or what was it ever, but people would say, hey, can we jump on Skype? And I say, no, we can't. We're gonna have to go, you know, use something else. So I like Copilot. I think it's cool. I mess around with it, but it's just like I have it embedded in my brain or something I don't like Microsoft products anymore.
Totally understandable. Before we wrap it up, are you okay? Because Kurt's got to go in a couple of minutes because he's got a prior engagement. Are you okay to do a bit of bonus content, or do you have to leave at the hour,
Brian? No, it's fine. Yeah, I could hang out for a while.
We have to continue because I like to talk about WordPress and applications a bit more, because obviously you've got a tremendous degree of knowledge and how you see that developing. But I just want a quick bit of advice, because it doesn't affect you, because I get the impression you're dealing with larger clients and more established relationships. But I'm hearing that from a lot of freelancers that are dealing with small, medium-sized clients, that they're getting a lot of clients coming up and saying, well, we want this, 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 and can't you just build this plugin using AI tomorrow? And this is going to be easy to build this. And in some ways, we've confirmed that, because I'm not totally, like you said, you had this discussion with a former employee that no longer works with you, because you can knock up a prototype quicker. But on the other hand, how do you deal with this client, this possible client that says, I want these things and I want it in the next few days or the end of the week, and you should be able to do it using AI?
It just knocked that up.
Yeah.
Just knock it out, you know. And
I would probably say, well, try it out. Go ahead, try it.
Well, that's what Kirk says. Try it out.
Yeah, I have changed my answer a little bit, at least for my own agency, because now instead of just telling people no, I say, hey, no problem. I always tell them, no problem. We can do that for you. Here's the deal. We're going to take the code that you're going to provide to us. We're going to run it through our tech team and just oversee the code, make sure things are good. We're going to create a staging site. We're going to test it in staging for you first. And then if everything goes well and there's no conflicts and you take responsibility for what you've created, we'll put it into production for you. That should only run about 9 or 10 hours at our agency rate. Is this plugin worth $1,200 to you? And then that's when we find out how much value there is in coding something yourself on AI.
Have you got any insights about where do you think the middle ground is? Because I don't honestly know, Brian, and you've got a lot more experience, Brian.
I mean, if anybody said came to me and said, hey, we want you to build this by tomorrow, I would say you're going to have to pay a super premium rate for that. And it's, you know, and it's still going to, it's not going to be tomorrow. It's probably going to be like next week or something. So I would, you know, when customers come to you and, tell you like, oh, I can get this cheaper somewhere else, or, you know, why can't we just use AI to build this so it doesn't cost anything, or can you do this right now? Those usually, are a recipe for disaster, unless you, you know, kind of slow them down, hold their hand. You know, I don't want to say put up some roadblocks, but they need to know that that's not how it works. And like you said, Kurt, like, you know, to just, you know, so you have the code, that's great, but there's still a process of implementing that code, testing that code, and, you know, launching that code. So, which all needs to happen anyway, regardless whether the code is generated with AI or not. I mean, yes, it's definitely a helpful shortcut. But yeah, if a client ever wanted to do something like that, yeah, it would be the same, basically the same process, a review process. And then, oh, we find something that's wrong. You mentioned malware. What if there's like all of a sudden there's some weird thing in the code?
Yeah.
Or it could introduce you know, other issues using AI as well, which, you know, will hopefully be remediated over time.
Well, we need to wrap it up now, so, and then we can now continue the discussion in the bonus cost section, Brian. So, Kirk, what's the best way for people to find out more about you and what you're up to?
Personally, I'm available on LinkedIn, Kurt Von Onen. I'm the only one on LinkedIn that's called Kurt Von Onen, so when you find me, you know you got me. And then for business, mañana no más.
That's fantastic. And Brian, what's the best way for people to find out more about you?
Brian Messenlaner, Brian at appresser.com. I'm on all the social medias, a lot of them as BMess. I have a book, Building Web Apps with WordPress. I probably need to do a third edition soon. It would be with all the new Gutenberg stuff and AI stuff. But yeah, Brian Messenlaner, I believe I'm the only one.
Yeah, I butchered your surname, but I butcher everybody's surname, Brian, so don't take it personally. It's been a great discussion. If you want to support
Thanks.
The show, think about leaving a review on Spotify or iTunes. It does really help the show. It introduces the show to new people. So if you could do that, it would be much appreciated. We're growing. We're getting more listeners lately, which is much appreciated. We've had some fantastic discussions lately, like what we've had with Brian. Like I say, we're going to close the podcast part of the show, but we're going to have some bonus content, and you'll be able to watch the podcast and the bonus content on the WP Tonic YouTube channel and subscribe there. That also is a great way of supporting the show. We'll be back next week, folks. Bye.
Hey, thanks for listening. We really do appreciate it. Why not visit the Mastermind Facebook group? And also, to keep up with the latest news, click wp-tonic.com/newsletter. We'll see you next time.